So please turn again in your Bibles to John 10. We'll read further in the chapter at this time. We'll begin to read again at verse 19. John 10, verse 19. But there was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If I be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Amen. And we'll end our reading there once again. Let's bow in prayer and seek the Lord's face as we come to his word at this time. Each one of you praying within your own soul that God would speak to you tonight, or this afternoon, that God would meet with us around his word. Eternal God and our loving Father, we thank you with all of our hearts, O Lord, for your presence with us thus far. We thank you, O Lord, for the psalms and the hymns that we've sang. We thank you, Lord, for the tithes and offerings gathered in. And we do pray, O God, that you grant wisdom to the oversight of this church, that these funds would be used wisely for the extension of Christ's kingdom, for the edification of God's people, for the bringing of sinners in under the sound of the gospel. We ask you, O Lord, for those who have been bereaved, that, Lord, you would meet with them, comfort their hearts this day. And we pray, O God, now, as we would gather as a needy people, we earnestly seek your face, that we would hear your voice this day. We pray, O God, that we'd be conscious, O Lord, of meeting with Christ afresh. We pray, O God, that the Spirit would come, open the word of this book, O Lord, in our hearing today. That you would draw us closer to Christ. Give grace, O Lord, for the preaching and the hearing of the word, that all would redound to your glory. In Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. Often it's useful in our consideration of the word of God, whether it be privately or publicly, when we read a portion of Scripture to ask certain questions. When you go through your Bibles and your own devotional times at home, when you go through a portion of Scripture, it's good to continually ask the Bible questions. What does this mean? What does this signify? How does it apply to me? And I find myself reading John 10 asking, well, a number of questions, but one particularly. I find myself asking the question, am I included in this group called sheep? Am I a member of this group who are designated the sheep? You see, when you read this portion of Scripture, you cannot but be struck by the blessed state and the privileges enjoyed by those who are described as sheep in John 10. Look, for example, at the verse 14. I am the good shepherd, says Christ, and know my sheep. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. What a privilege it is for those who are sheep to be known of God. And not known just in the sense of God's omniscience, God knows all things, but known in the sense of relationship, fellowship with God. The sheep are known of God and they know God. There is that mutual communion and fellowship between the sheep and the shepherd. What a privilege that is. The sheep also described as being in receipt of eternal life. And I give unto them eternal life. Something that's given to them, not in the future, but presently. Eternal life, of course, as you'll be aware, is not speaking in terms of quantity. You see, there is no time in eternity, but rather it's speaking of quality. The fullness of life that begins now, Christ comes that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Well, that's enjoyed even greater glory when it comes to heaven and the fullness of eternal life. It's a privilege to enjoy now. Not only to be known of God, but also to have eternal life. The privilege which is guaranteed because of the security that the sheep have within the Father's hand. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And then in verse 29, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You've the hand of the Saviour, the shepherd. You've the hand of the Father, and enclosed within those great hands are the sheep. What privileges. And only the most hardened. And I hope this doesn't describe you today. Only the most hardened would not want to know the answer to the question, am I a sheep of the Good Shepherd? If that question doesn't interest you at all today, your heart is very, very hard. Oh, to see these privileges and to look through the blessings that are offered in the gospel to these sheep, it must stir your heart up to go, well, am I a sheep? Of course not literally, but am I a sheep? Do I fulfill the characteristics of those who are described as sheep? You see, not all are sheep. Look at verse 26. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. So there are those who are not of God's sheep. You see, here we see, and with a clear understanding, that this term sheep is not simply a designation of the Jewish nation. Here are those, the Jews, who came and accused Christ of not being clear enough. And they are told that ye are not of my sheep. And in verse 16 we read these words, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. You see, this term of sheep is a designation of the true people of God. Not simply a designation of Israel, but when you come to the fullness of Revelation in the New Testament, you see that the sheep are all the people of God, Jews and Gentiles, gathered together into one fold. Of course, the picture of God's people as sheep is a recurrent theme in the Word of God. We sang the Psalm 23. Then you've also got the verse in Isaiah 53. We all like sheep have gone astray, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's a recurrent theme in Scripture. And the analogy then, I suspect, receives its fullest treatment in John 10. In John 10, we have two separate discourses. We read them separately today, and there are two discourses which more than likely are separate in time, but they are certainly linked in ideas. And as I said, the question to ask is the question, am I a true sheep? And as we consider that, I want to think with you about three marks of the sheep of the Good Shepherd. If you like, the analogy is that of the branding or the painting of sheep. That's the practice in the Antrim Hills. I'm sure it's a practice here that the sheep are marked with a certain colour, so when they mix perhaps in the wilder fields, and they mix in those fields, that one with one shepherd knows, well, that's mine. There are certain marks that distinguish that sheep to be a sheep of that particular shepherd. So what are the brands upon our backs? What are the brands that mark us out as being sheep of the Good Shepherd? Well, the first one is the fact that the sheep of the Good Shepherd believe that Jesus is the promised Messiah. There's a doctrinal mark. They have certain beliefs and they believe that Jesus is the promised Messiah. You see, you need to note and see how the verse 27 really is our text for today, but you need to see how the verse 24 and following lead into verse 27. So look with me, please, at verse 24. We read here about a scene. It's winter time. Jesus walking in the place of the temple called Solomon's Porch, and Jews come to him. It's often a place of discussion and debate, and the Jews come and they say, well, how long will you make us to doubt? You see in your margin there, how long will you hold us in suspense? If I be the Christ, tell us plainly. That term, the Christ, as I'm sure you're very, very aware, is the New Testament term for the Messiah. So the Jews are coming to Christ and they say, well, you're not being clear enough. Are there some here today and you're going to stand before God in judgment and offer that excuse? You're going to go before God in judgment and say, well, the preacher wasn't clear enough. He didn't make it plain enough. This is interesting to see how carnal the hearts of people are. They'll use anything to get themselves out of their own responsibility. But Christ says to them very clearly, look at verse 25, I told you, and ye believe not. My words bear witness to me, as do my works. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. In other words, I've been very, very clear. My words and my works, they both point to the fact that I am who I say I am. I am the Messiah, the chosen Savior of God. You see, you'll see there in the verse 26 that because these people did not believe, that therefore they're not sheep, but ye believe not because ye're not my sheep. It's important to note the order there. Perhaps I haven't made it clear even into what just said, but the reason that they believe not is because they are not the sheep. Who have the sense of God's sovereignty. These people are a reprobate people. It's a truth of Scripture. They do not believe because they are not of my sheep. But yet you see, the truth of God's sovereignty here is not to mask the truth of their responsibility. For in verse 25, Christ tells them plainly that you're responsible for rejecting my message. But the point I want to draw out in particular from this thing is that the sheep are not like these Jews. These Jews do not believe. And therefore it's plain that they're not sheep. They're not sheep with a good shepherd. It's very plain. In other words, the implication is that my sheep believe. And that's the contrast that's given. Ye are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. And you get the first mark of the sheep. They are those who believe. They believe that Jesus is who he says he is. But what in particular did these Jews reject? There are two things in particular. The words and the works of Christ, well, they bear witness that Christ was God manifest in the flesh. Christ's words and his works bear witness that he was God manifest in the flesh. We read in the following verses of this chapter how that the Jews begin to take up stones to stone him. Because Christ's words once again bore witness that he was not just an ordinary man. Oh, he was truly man. But he was also truly God. Turn back to chapter 5 and the verse 17. And in this portion of Scripture, we have an interaction again with the Jews. It follows the Lord's healing on the Sabbath day. The man is healed, and then it goes on in verse 16, therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Verse 17, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath in their eyes, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. They sought to kill him. Then John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and look first at verse 22. Christ is speaking of his death, and it says in the verse 22, then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. So again, we're in a portion of Scripture where our Lord is speaking with Jews. He's bearing witness of who he is. And then you go on to the verse the verse 58. And again, remember, we're in the context of Christ dealing with Jews. And he says to them in verse 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. You see, these Jews were behaving fully in accordance with their law. The law of God was that those who were guilty of blasphemy were to be stoned. And so these Jews, well, quite naturally, they understood quite clearly that our Lord was professing to be God. And so they take up stones to stone him. His words bear witness that he was God manifest in the flesh. And so they take up stones. But not only did they reject the fact that he was God, but they reject the fact that he was the Christ. That's the direct context here. That they would not believe that he was the Christ. He had told them plainly. He had shown them plainly. And when you restrict yourself to John 10, you see some of the features of this Messiah. Christ says in verse 7, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the way to God. I am the only way to God. And not only am I the door, I'm also the good shepherd. I'm the one who will lay down his life for the sheep. I am the Messiah." You see, the Jews, or this group of Jews, they were not the sheep because they didn't believe. But if you're a sheep, then you do believe. You do believe certain things concerning Christ. And let me get to the point. We live in a day when doctrinal truth is not deemed as being very important. See, people claim to be Christians, and they will have the tenacity and the boldness to say, well, it doesn't really matter what you believe. So long as you've got a relationship with the Lord, what you say you believe isn't very important. They will get confidence that they're bound to heaven, and yet they will deny that the historical person called Jesus of Nazareth was indeed God walking upon this earth. They will deny that. They will deny the virgin birth, the very cornerstone of Christ's deity. They will deny that it ever took place. And yet they will claim to have a relationship with Jesus. You see, they are not of the sheep of God. For the sheep of God do indeed believe that he is who he says he is. There is a doctrinal mark upon your back as a sheep of the Good Shepherd. You believe certain things. It does matter what you believe about Christ. It is not a matter that you can take or leave. You see, in the simplest terms, in the authority of the Bible, well, not my opinion, but in the authority of Scripture, if you deny that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, you are not a Christian. You are not a Christian, no matter what you profess. The sheep believe certain things. A fundamental feature of the true sheep of God is a sure belief that Jesus is the door and the only door into the sheepfold of God. You see, there are so many today, and they will view God a bit like a mountain. I'm sure you've heard this illustration. God is at the top of the mountain, and there is a road at the back, and there's a road at the side, and there's a road at the front, but they're all getting to God eventually. Whether you're an Islamist or whether you're a Buddhist, whatever you may choose to be, you go your way, he goes his way, I'll go my way, but we'll all get there in the end. Such a teaching is from hell. Such a teaching is not in accordance with the Word of God. And the true sheep of the Good Shepherd, they believe that there's only one way to God. And you see, in our ecumenical age, there are those who profess to be even gentle Christians, and yet they're quite happy to say that there's more than one way to God. Oh yes, we may have the fastest routes. We may have the most direct route, but others will get there on a more circuitous way. Oh dear people, the sheep of the Good Shepherd are marked by certain doctrinal things, and they believe that there is only one way to God. And they believe that that way is only in Christ. You see, if you believe that there are a multitude of ways to God, you have low thoughts of Christ. You have low thoughts of God's way of salvation. As one brother prayed in the prayer meeting, there's only one mediator between God and man. Only one. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you see, if there is a multitude of paths on the mountain towards God, then why would God have sent his Son to come and suffer and die? You read the New Testament, you read the Gospel account, you read the beatings, that Christ suffered. You read of his agonies. You read of him hanging upon a cross. You read of the spear being thrust into his side. If there is more than one way to God, that was all unnecessary. Who is prepared to say that today? That there was no need for Christ to suffer? That there was no need for the blessed Son of God to hang upon a cross? You see, true sheep, they have these doctrinal marks. Because the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, and we must never make little of fundamental doctrine. You see, the pressure is incessant to compromise our doctrine, to be more tolerant in order to fellowship, so-called, with others who claim to be Christian but have no right to that name. But let's make it personal. Search your own hearts today. As I search my heart, what do you believe about Jesus? I really mean, what do you believe about him? You see, I'm not saying it's easy to believe that he was God and man. But if you don't believe it, you're not a Christian. I'm not saying it's easy to believe there's only one way to God. But to not believe it is to mean that you're not a sheep of the Good Shepherd. And therefore you are not in receipt of all the privileges of those sheep. There are certain doctrinal marks concerning the sheep of the true shepherd. The second thing we see is that the sheep of the Good Shepherd, well, they discern and they pay heed to his voice. And here we come really into the text itself. My sheep hear my voice. They discern his voice. You see, note that the emphasis in our text is on Christ's voice. There is an interesting theme in Scripture, running through Scripture, about the voice of Christ. You'll see it in Revelation 1, where John is turned around to see the voice. Christ's voice. Of course, the voice is not separable from the words. The voice, of course, expresses words, and it's a reference to the words of Christ. But look again at verses 3 to 5 of our text, of John 10. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. See, here you see the emphasis of the words to hear. It's the basic word to hear, but it includes the idea of discerning Christ's voice from all others. It is the fact that we mask out other voices and hear his only. You see, in hearing, perhaps a baby is in the middle of a room. Those of your parents will know this, and the baby's sitting upon a knee, and the parent comes in, and the voice of the mother or the father is raised, and the baby turns their head. They recognize the voice of their parent. And so here the sheep recognize the voice of their shepherd. You see, the sheep is, of course, here following the analogy of the Eastern Shepherd. The Eastern Shepherd who knows the sheep who know the voice of that shepherd. There are many voices today screaming for our attention. There are many voices screaming for our religious attention. That we'd fall this way or that way or the other way. But the true sheep discern the true from the false. See, what I think is particularly involved here is the voice as the instrument of invitation. The analogy is that of the shepherd and the sheep. It's not difficult, I believe, to picture the sheep. You see, even the children here will think in these terms. You see, in our day, we tend to think of sheep in enclosed fields, surrounded by walls or fences or whatever it might be, and the sheep are in a small area. Of course, though, that's not the picture in the Eastern analogy. In the Eastern picture, the sheep are grazing, perhaps, over a large area. But now the pasture is bare and it's time to move on. Your minds may be thinking about Joseph. Remember Joseph sent to find his brothers? And he goes to Shechem. They've been grazing in Shechem, but the time has been to move on. They've moved on to Dothan. You see, that's the picture that our Lord is drawing from here. And it's the idea that when the shepherd calls,
When the shepherd rises, the fields are bare, and the shepherd gets up and he calls. He says, it's time to go. The sheep hear him, and they follow him. They discern his voice from the stranger. Was it not the case for you, dear Christian? Was there not a time in your life when you heard Christ's voice? When you heard him say, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. You heard a shepherd say, come. And you discerned his voice, the true voice, and you came. You see, note the order. Oh, the sheep do not seek the shepherd. They don't get up and run off. They do at times, but by and large, the shepherd calls them and they follow. Oh, the miracle of divine grace. The Lord gives us ears to hear. The Lord calls and the sheep are drawn by that voice and they come and follow. As Proverbs says, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Have you heard the voice of the Good Shepherd? Are you still munching in the fields of the world? Are you still very happily grazing? Oh, the pasture's now very bare. There's no pleasure there anymore. But yet still, your head's down and you haven't heard the voice of the Good Shepherd. And he's called you to come. Will you hear this afternoon? Will you hear Christ's call this afternoon? You see, in Ephesians chapter 2, and we don't have time to turn to it now, but in Ephesians 2, it speaks of Christ preaching peace to those who are far off. The shepherd comes and he calls through the preaching of the gospel. Christ comes. As far as we know, Christ was never in Ephesus. And yet it said that he came and preached peace to them. How? Through the preaching of the gospel. And so today, as the gospel is preached, the good shepherd calls. But will you keep hearing other voices? Will you hear the voice of your career and ignore the good shepherd? Will you hear the voice of the pleasure of sin and ignore the good shepherd? Or will you discern his voice and come and follow him? You see, all who are true sheep have heard his voice. But not only is the sense of discerning his voice, but it's also the sense of paying heed. You see, this initial response of the sheep to the shepherd is not all that's involved here. The text does not say, look at it carefully. The text does not say, my sheep have heard my voice once and for all. But rather, my sheep hear my voice. And the idea here is of a continuous, ongoing action. The true sheep of the good shepherd continually pay heed and give attention to the shepherd's voice. You see, where do we hear Christ's voice? Well, we hear Christ's voice in the scriptures, don't we? Christ's voice is heard in the scriptures. When you read the Bible, you're reading the words of Christ. When you read your Bible, do you hear him speak to you? Or do you just go through the monotony of reading a chapter or two a day, but yet you never ever hear Christ speak to you? Christ's voice is heard in the preaching of the word. Oh yes, the preaching of the gospel. Oh yes, that preaching which is in accordance with scripture. Oh yes, be Berean in spirit, but when you're convinced that this preaching is according to truth, well then you pay heed to that preaching. You hear Christ's voice in preaching. Remember, we're asking the question, am I a sheep of the good shepherd? Well, the sheep of the good shepherd pay heed to Christ's voice. I'm not speaking here so much of obedience that will come, but we're speaking really of, do you have an interest to hear the voice of Christ? Do you desire to hear Christ's voice in the scriptures? Today, when you get up, did you pray? Did you pray and say, oh Lord, speak to me today in the house of God? Do you have a hunger for God's word? Do you have a hunger to come through the doors of this church and hear Christ speak? Do you have a desire to be here? Not that you would gather your friends, as good as that may be, but to be here, to hear the voice of the shepherd. All of true sheep have that desire. When this pulpit is filled over the weeks to come by various men, is your prayer that they would not come simply with their own words, but they would come with the voice of Christ? You see, these are the marks of the true sheep. The third and final thing we see very quickly is that the sheep of the Good Shepherd follow him. Our time is gone, but just notice very quickly, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. You see, this is in contrast again with our present day pictures of the shepherd and the sheep. Today our shepherds, well, they drive the sheep with quad bikes and with dogs and the like, and it's a very different picture than what we have here. Here the shepherd gets up and he calls and they follow him. He doesn't so much drive the sheep as lead the sheep. But this indicates to us that there are no true sheep who don't follow the shepherd. Each individual sheep follows the shepherd. There is no true Christian who doesn't have a desire to be more like the shepherd. There's no such thing as a believer who has no interest in holiness. You see, the idea that you can make some decision for Christ and then live as you like is totally foreign to Scripture. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. They follow in obedience His commands. And hereby, 1 John 2, hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar and the truth is not in him. You hear Christ's voice and His commandments, but you turn a blind ear to those, or a deaf ear to those commandments. You ignore them. And yet you say that you know God. You say that you're a sheep of the shepherd. The Word of God says, He that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar. Those aren't my words. The true sheep follow Christ. Oh yes, not perfectly, but genuinely and sincerely. See, have you heard Christ's command? Is there a sin in your life and you know full well that you're disobeying God, but you're ignoring His voice? He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar. We follow in obedience, we follow and following His example. 1 John 2 again, He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked. Well, how did Christ walk? He walked in a compassion with sinners. The child felt welcome upon His knee. The immoral woman felt welcome in His company. He had compassion to sinners. What of us? Do we have compassion for sinners? And yet at the same time, He was righteous in His judgment upon the hypocrisy of the religious leaders. We walk as He walked. We follow His example. We follow also by submitting to His providential leading. Oh, this is the hardest perhaps. In Psalm 23, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. So far, so good. We'll follow Him through the green pastures. We'll follow Him to the still waters, but then, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. You see, He's led us there as well. The Good Shepherd has led us into the valley of the shadow of death. His rod and His staff, they comfort me. They've led us to this place. Will we follow? Where He may lead me, I will go. For I have learned to trust Him so. Oh, the true sheep, they follow the shepherd. You see, there are marks of the sheep. You ask yourself the question, am I a sheep of the Good Shepherd? Well, you can know that. There are certain marks. There are these doctrinal marks of belief. There are the marks of hearing and keeping on hearing His voice. And there is the mark of following the Good Shepherd. You see, if you examine your heart, and you can leave the church today, and you can say, well, yes, I know I'm not perfect, but I believe I have these marks. Well, then you can praise God for the miracle of divine grace. It's not of your doing, but rejoice that God has worked in your heart. Oh, none of us will leave here with some sense of our own perfection, but surely we can examine our hearts and say, well, yes, to some degree, I have an interest in God's Word. To some degree, I follow Christ. And yes, there was a time when I heard him say, come, and I came. And I followed him. But yet there's a very solemn challenge here. And with this we close. See, Christ here was dealing with religious Jews. And he demonstrated the marks of the true sheep so that they would recognize that they were not of the true sheep. That's why. That they would recognize that they were not true of the true sheep of the true shepherd, Jehovah Jesus. You see, some of you profess Christ, but yet you do not bear these marks. Oh, I don't know you, but I can't imagine in a group of this size that there are not some of you here who profess to be a sheep of the shepherd, but yet you do not bear these marks. You have no desire for Christ's word. You do not follow Christ. May God be pleased to cause you to examine your heart today. And there are others here who you make no profession. You have not these marks because you don't claim to have them. You're very honest. You come to God's house, you say, well, yes, I'll come and I enjoy being here, but I'm not claiming to be a sheep of the shepherd. May you see and may you be taught of God today that not to be a sheep of the good shepherd is not to be known of God. It's not to be in receipt of eternal life. And may you then seek the mercy that's found in Christ. These are solemn things, dear people. It is no trifling matter to be about the business of the gospel. It's of the utmost solemnity. May we examine our hearts as God gives us grace. Let's all pray. Eternal God and our loving Father, we still ourselves in your presence this day. We thank you, O Lord, that our standing in your sight is not based upon our obedience. We thank you, O Lord, that our standing is based upon Christ and his perfect work on our behalf. And yet, dear Father, we do recognize that in your word you teach us that there are certain evidences of those who are justified by the grace of God. We ask you, O Lord, that you'd help us to examine our hearts, to make sure that the root of the matter is within us, that we are indeed Christ's, and that, O Lord, we would have the joy of knowing that we are in possession of eternal life. Help us this day. Bless us in this Sabbath day, O Lord, and may we use this day aright. And may you meet with us, O Lord, even in private, and then back here as we gather under the sound of the gospel tonight. In Christ's name we ask these things. Amen.